Blog Talk Radio.
You think the people of this country exist to provide you with position. I think your position exists to provide those people with freedom.
Too many people in America fear their government, and the government is being run by too many powerful agencies like the IRS and others. I think it's time the people take the country back through their representative government.
Welcome to Right from the Left Coast. My name is Linda, and I'm broadcasting from Oceanside. It's a beautiful day, but I haven't been out because I have a very bad cold. So if I sound funny, that's why. I want to thank Rod for tuning in and everyone that's listening through their default players and otherwise. I want to give a shout-out to PatriotFamilies.com. That is how these shows are brought to us, www.PatriotFamilies.com, families with a Y-S, and welcome to the show. So I'll see how far I get. Not sure if others will join, but I've been going through so many things in the last few days. Hey, FT and Ron, thanks for joining. I have a pretty bad cold, so I'm going to do what I can. Welcome to the show, and we're going through all this stuff. There's so many draconian things going on. People's guns are being confiscated in New York. I don't know if you've seen this on The Blaze, because they've had, whether currently or in the past, certain medications, and the list is huge. There was a roll-up screen on GBTV today with Glenn. He was looking at all these, quote, psychotropic drugs, and it was just astounding. These clowns are going to come for them. They're going to come for them hard. I want to read to you. Hey, FT. I think Ron's trying to either do something to get sound or whatever. So we'll hopefully he'll come back in. Let me get this up so I can read it. And it is was done on April 4th. It's a few days ago. And this was proposed in the Assembly of California. AB 48, magazine ban and ammunition crackdown. This sweeping ban expansion would expand California's magazine ban by making you a criminal for possessing springs or plastic, force all ammunition sales to be reported to the Department of Justice. This is in California. Ration the amount of ammunition you would be allowed to buy without being reported to local law enforcement. And this next one is, that was all in one proposal. This AB 169, this is the Assembly Bill, Pre-Approved Gun Sales Only Act. Oh my God. Expand California's private sales ban by outlawing your right to sell your handgun if it is not certified for sale on the state handgun registry and outlaws your right to purchase a handgun that is not on the government's pre-approved list of handguns. It goes on. You can't believe this. AB 500, Firearms Purgatory Act, allows the DOJ to arbitrarily expand the 10-day waiting period to 15 days. This is for California. Creates a firearms purgatory by requiring private sales to be confiscated by federally licensed dealers and held away from the buyer and seller during a waiting period. Under this bill, if you try to sell your firearm privately and something goes wrong, you may lose the sale and forfeit your gun. Jeez. This is a California gun owners. This is a huge attack on us. The other agenda of the legislature in California is AB 47, the expansion of the so-called assault weapons ban, AB 760, ammunition tax, this is the Senate bill in California 108, lock up your safety bill, forcing you to box up and neuter all firearms stored inside your own home, State Senate bill 127, Second Amendment Blacklist Act, stripping you of your rights based on mere mental health-related accusations, which is what's going on in New York right now. SB 140, a mandatory background check, tax for the purpose of funding a gun confiscation program. Oh, my God. They're just spelling it out. That bill has already passed the Senate and is before the Assembly Appropriations Committee in California. This is another one, SB 293. It's unbelievable what they're doing. Expands the list of unsafe guns that the state won't allow to be sold. SB 299 penalizes law-abiding gun owners for being victims of theft. This is very much what's going on, I believe, in Colorado. SB 363 regulates lawful gun owners who live with anyone who may not be allowed to possess a firearm. That's what I'm afraid of. SB 374, government registration of all firearms. SB 396, magazine ban and ammunition crackdown. SB 53, more ammunition regulations. SB 755 repeals your Second Amendment rights for, conviction of misdemeanors. This is unbelievable. And then there was a list of phone numbers to call. Hey, hot seat. Glad you're here. Glad everyone's here. Oh, you know, Ron, I tell you what's going on. This is what my next topic is. Why are we complying with this? Why are we accepting this? I mean, we have a litany of things in this country that we are dealing with right now. They're coming at us just so furiously and so draconianly with all of this nonsense. It's terrifying. It's absolutely terrifying. I didn't get a chance. I told you I have a cold. It could be worse. I'm reading some of the chats. Again, if you guys want to help save this voice, you can call in. But I wanted to describe to you what I have seen in this country, and it's being accepted by the American people or the American sheeple as the new normal. And why we're accepting this is beyond my understanding. Why do we accept a country, a nation of supposedly free market, well, not anymore, capitalistic people who were founded on liberty and limited government? Why do we have such high unemployment consistently? Why are we accepting the fact that gasoline prices are in California over $4 per gallon? Why do we accept these environmentalist wackos and keep funding all of this nonsense, such as the EPA, who makes everything impossible in California? In fact, they are demonizing fracking in California right now. I would love to bring Ron in. Thanks for calling in, Ron. How are you doing?
You know, all things considered, I guess pretty well.
Well, did you hear some of those proposals that are going on in Sacramento? I mean, it's
yep.
They might as well just say you don't have a right to have. I mean, that's what they're doing. They are going to force people, A, to leave the state, number one. You know, I mean, seriously, more than, you know, like that, remember the city of the Sphinxes and they were exiting? Yeah, that's what it's going to look like. I'm telling you, I don't understand it. And why we accept these things, we accept high unemployment, we accept ridiculously low GDP growth. We accept taxes and a government that has gone run amok.
I can tell you why we accept all those things. I'm serious. We accept all those things because we've lost focus on what's important in life.
True.
We've lost focus on what really matters, if we ever had it to begin with.
You know, I think back in the times of the children being raised in the middle of the 1700s, I think they had some of that, Ron. I don't think we have it anymore.
Well, it's still out there.
Oh, yeah.
It's still out there.
It's in the heartland. It's in pockets.
That doesn't mean that we don't get complacent. And let me, I know I kind of ranted a little bit Monday night about what a crappy start to the week I've had.
Yeah.
And totally a personal thing, and not trying to blow my own horn, but I got a phone call from my wife yesterday,
mm-hmm.
right around lunchtime, asking if I had heard from my son. I said, no. Why? He shot himself yesterday. By accident. Not suicidal or anything.
Oh, my gosh.
He was being complacent. And
uh-oh.
It cost him a finger on his left hand. He
oh, lovely.
Discharged a revolver right through his hand.
God.
So.
Oh, my gosh.
We spent the night in the early wee hours of the morning in North Carolina and got home at about 5 a.m. And took a little bit of time and I slept in. My wife actually had a meeting in Atlanta at 10. She
wow.
got a couple hours of sleep and went down there for her meeting. I went to work at noon. Was up there talking to my boss, and he's got a 17-year-old son who I like a lot, but he has a habit of disrespecting his father publicly in front of me, and it bothers me.
Wow.
And I've expressed that bother to his father and to him,
mm-hmm.
but, you don't want to overstep your bounds with sticking your nose in someone else's business.
I know. That's a fine line, but...
And I was talking to his dad, Rick, who's our store manager, and I said, I expressed my... issue. And he said, I wish you would have a talk with him. I said, I will. Not more than 10 minutes later, one of our customers came in and asked, Rick, where's Matt? He said, he's doing a couple of yard jobs in the subdivision. Why? He said, because there's a 17-year-old boy that was swimming out at the new reservoir and he's missing, and he's been missing for 3 hours.
Oh, no.
And his first thought was of Rick and his son. Turns out it's his son's best friend.
Oh.
Jeez.
Hey, Robert. Nice to have you here.
So.
Hey, it's been a hate to. Hey, Robert.
We lose sight of what is really important in this life. And I don't mean just losing sight of God.
Right.
Which we should put him first. But family and
mm-hmm.
community, one another, love for our fellow human being. That's what's missing. We take it for granted.
Yeah. Well,
and
we
should.
No, and you know what else? I mean, look, over the course of time and decades, look what else we take for granted, and now they're coming after it. Every single thing they fought for in the Revolutionary War, which was also the Second Amendment, by the way, they're coming after. And we have taken for granted our liberties far too long. Absolutely.
I agree. And Linda, I think, I don't think that your loved ones and family, I don't think that's the first thing you take for granted. I don't think that God is the first thing you take for granted. I think it's the last.
Mm-hmm.
All the other things we take for granted before that.
Yeah. It's, I mean, you're right. I mean, we've got to, that's why I know that many of the people on certain talk shows talk about making sure that, first you have your God, of course, and then your right to life, you have that. That's a natural God-given right. You have your family, which is an extension of you and the Lord, and you have your community, and I believe that's why people who want to try to fight City Hall, so to speak, have to start with their own neighborhoods. And that's what a lot of us here in Oceanside are doing. You know, we're, like I said, none of us are going to get this right. We ain't walking on water. We're, you know, we're just going to have to go the way of Christ's teachings and try to do the right thing. But by God, when somebody tells me that I've got 10 commandments and I'm looking at those and I'm looking at 10 Bill of Rights, I'm going to fight for all of it.
I couldn't agree more. And you know, we geez, Louise, we can go back to that scripture, and you know, I've quoted it repeatedly, that we should take the beam from our own eye before we pick up the speck of dust in our neighbor's eye.
Sure.
If we would bother ourselves with being approved in the eyes of God as worthy
mm-hmm.
of His Son's sacrifice,
right,
in everything that we do, we wouldn't have time to worry about being a busybody trying to fix our neighbor's life because
oh, I know.
We think we know better.
Well, and then you'd have to take that to the next extreme level, and that's what these philosopher kings in our government are doing to us. They are worried about what we're doing, and they have no business in any of it. They have no business telling people they can't drill for oil, as far as I'm concerned, if they're not, you know, harming somebody. And I'm not worried about some spotted owl because they make this stuff up as they go along. You know what I'm saying? They're the busybodies.
Certainly. Look, there's nothing wrong with being responsible, okay?
Absolutely. I mean, that's the – okay, if you're going to have freedom, you better take on the responsibility. And these people who say that you have a right to a house and a job and an education are full of it, and that is all Marx. I'm telling you, that's where it comes from, and you know it does.
You do have a right to own a home.
But not to have
– if you exercise your right to work and earn a living and be a responsible human being, sure, no one can stand in the way of that right.
Right,
but that doesn't mean that you have a right to a free home provided to you by society.
By others. Right, exactly. And that's why we've talked Terry talks about these things on her show, and she's always worried. She hates it when they say that you have a right to education, and she says, no, you don't. You have a responsibility to educate yourself.
Absolutely.
And I love her for that because she gets it. You know, and those responsibilities come with everything, Ron. You know, that comes with going out and
it's a two-way street. You can't have one without the other. You cannot be irresponsible and claim some right. You have to be responsible for yourself. And, you know, my son, the forum, he's on the same forum I am. He posted a picture of his hand. It was very gruesome. It was a 357 Magnum, and it was Hornady critical defense ammunition. It left a large gaping hole in his hand, and he lost a finger. Thank God.
That's it. Yeah.
That he didn't lose, you know, his life or his son, my grandson's life.
Oh.
You know, it could have been much worse.
Oh,
but he was man enough to post the pictures on the forum and say, guys, don't let this happen to you.
To you.
Don't be complacent. He's
right.
not trying to blame anybody. He's not trying to sue the manufacturer of the gun, and he knows it wasn't the damn gun's fault.
it was his own dumbass
attack that resulted
exactly.
in it. And it makes me proud as a father to see that.
Yeah, I'm glad that you raised him at least that responsibly. I mean, so he gets that picture.
He knows. There are no excuses for, you know, the outcome of your actions belong to you.
And you know what? That goes with what Glenn has said about, you know, if you guys want to be free, you better start acting like people who want to live freely. And that goes to the God part, that goes to the responsibility part, and that goes to knowing history and your rights and also the rights of your neighbors. You know,
it's an all or nothing proposition. There is no middle ground.
Exactly. You know, and I mean, look, as far as I can see, with everything that's going on, we do have choices, and I see the choices being posed at us very clearly, and one is you're going to either have maximum freedom in this country, or there's going to be so much tyranny and darkness, you're going to wish you were never born. I'm telling you, that's what's happening to us, and I hope that those people that they've stated publicly on every show from Fox, whatever, the guys who said they're going to filibuster against this gun stuff, if they don't go through with it, I swear, I'll have to shoot them myself. And I'm not, that's, don't come after me, big sis, I'm not for real. Just, I get so mad at them. They better stand up, you know, because they have promised us. And if they go back on the, if you don't have your word, who are you? You know, I mean, they better, because they're the ones, they're supposed to be our representatives. Oy. Oh, you're posting something good. What was this?
That's a link, and I want everyone to go take a look at it.
If you can get it into the Patriot Families, because if I get out of this studio, I may lose it. So.
No, I understand. I'll email it to you.
Okay, great.
That's a picture of my son's aunt.
Oh, no. Oh, well, tell him we're sorry he was such a little ninny.
You know, you try, of course, you want to be compassionate. You know, I love my son more than anything.
Go ahead, Robert.
Yes, Robert.
Now at least you'll have to say, don't break a leg.
Well, you know, the thing is, I realized that I didn't need to harp on him, the fact that he was an idiot. Because regardless, you may think that's insensitive, but that's the damn reality of the situation.
I know, but I'm not being insensitive. It was just like, God Almighty, that must have been. How did it go off?
Well, Robert, how does any gun go off? You pull the damn trigger.
Oh, that's a shame.
In his mind, and I'm telling you, and I'm saying this not because I want sympathy, but I want anybody else out there that's got a firearm, okay, to listen to what I'm telling you. Go look at that damn picture, because my son was around firearms his whole life. He's owned multiple firearms, okay? And what happened was he got complacent.
Oh.
And he was holding this little bitty revolver, this harmless little revolver that's just so tiny you wouldn't believe it. It's made of a polymer frame. And he was going to open the revolver, open the cylinder, empty it, okay, and clean his gun. And he's sitting in his recliner, relaxed, not paying attention.
Oh.
And one of his fingers had to be touching the trigger on his gun. And the thing about this revolver is it's got a built-in safety mechanism that if there's any pressure on the trigger whatsoever, it will not allow you to unlatch the cylinder to open it.
Oh, God.
Because the only thing that would be worse than an accidental discharge with the damn thing closed is with it halfway open.
Oh, yeah. Take both hands off. Oy.
And so he's cupping the majority of the revolver because it's so little, and he's a big guy, and he's got big hands like his pops. And I told him, I said, son, it didn't just go off. And when he pushed on that latch, in his mind, without anything touching the trigger, it wouldn't open. And so he pushed harder, and that's when it discharged through his hand.
Oh, God. Oh.
He realizes that now.
Yeah. Oh.
And the fact of the matter is that even if the gun were defective, and every time you push the latch to release the cylinder, it discharged. It's not the manufacturer's fault that he had the muzzle of that weapon pointed at his damn body.
Oh, God.
When he depressed that latch and it discharged.
Oh, man. Yeah, that's really sad. Oh.
It is sad.
You can't take anything for granted, guys. You've got to be focused, and especially when you're dealing with something like a firearm that can not only be detrimental to your life, but everyone around you.
Oh, yeah.
And whether your act was intentional or a mistake,
it doesn't matter.
Dead is dead.
And the damage is damage, right, and it's done.
Yeah, exactly.
That's something that that's why I probably should take some gun safety courses. I know I've done pretty well with the range, but I haven't been for a while. I need to do that again.
Gun safety is not something you have to take. It's something you need to learn.
Well, yeah, and but I mean,
there's a few rules that are real simple. Every gun is loaded.
Yep.
Always.
Mm-hmm.
No matter whether you think it is or not, until you've verified that it's not.
Oh,
the
yeah.
The business end of a gun, the muzzle, is never pointed in a direction at anything you don't fully intend to shoot.
And ruin.
Even when you're casually going to clean your gun.
Yeah.
You point it in a safe, damned direction.
Yep.
And you can't, you cannot get complacent about it.
I know. It's something. Guns are, you know, it's something you have to have a healthy respect for.
It's a deadly
weapon. They can do. Yeah. And you,
in the hands of a human being, an intentional human being or an irresponsible one, either way, the outcome's the same.
Yeah, if you have an unreasonable or an unfounded fear of guns, that's one thing, then you shouldn't be around them. But you should have a healthy respect for the hellish damage they can do. They were meant to do that. That's what
were
designed for.
But,
yeah,
you know, I'm guilty of it. We become so accustomed to handling our firearms, I can take any of mine apart in a matter of seconds, blindfolded. Okay? I know those guns inside and out. We lower our guard. We get so comfortable and so arrogant in our, I know what I'm paying. Whoops. Shit, how'd that happen?
Yeah, so, I mean, boy, this really brought you guys back to, down to earth.
Back to reality, and the thing is, you know, for me, I mean, my son has, and I'm telling you, been absolutely anal retentive about gun safety.
Wow.
And it just blew me away that this was
happened.
Even possible.
Yeah.
Because I know that, you know, that's just not him.
Right. And then, but you've got human error in the mix, you know.
Sure, because he is human.
Yeah.
Right. So, Ron, let me ask you a question.
Yes, sir.
When you're cleaning, that's what I'm afraid of. that's exactly. I'm not afraid of shooting a gun, right? I'm not afraid of doing that. I'm afraid of loading one and unloading one. And
you're afraid of making a damn mistake. You should be.
Yeah.
It's called healthy respect.
Right.
Look, it's no different than fear of your father, fear of God. It's not. Fear is a bad word.
Right.
It's respect. Respect.
Well, that's for
it's not wanting, you know, that thing about fear, a good fear of God, of fearing God and fearing his wrath. It's just like when I was a kid, my father, I didn't want to incur his wrath, but it wasn't so much that I feared the physical punishment. It was emotional. It was mental.
Sure.
It was did not want to be a disappointment to my father.
Right.
I didn't want to be so out of line that I gave him a reason to be that angry, because I knew that he was not an irrational man.
Right. Oh, my
gosh.
And
the same with God. That's truly the expression of a fear of God. We should want to not make
anger
and reflect well on our father, and that's the best word I can come up with, is respect.
There you go. That's
it's
true.
Showing respect for your father in every single action you undertake.
That's a tough one, but we have to try.
Exactly. And we're going to fail. That's the other thing. We have to recognize that we're not perfect.
Right.
We will fail. We will continue to fail. The difference is recognizing your failures and learning from them, that's wisdom.
And that can create some very good successes, just like when they
absolutely
failed several times on the light bulb, but those failures led to the real deal. They didn't stop. I mean, we would be still having candlelight probably if they didn't figure it out. But, you know, and if they stopped and gave up. And, you know, going back to this what I call the new normal, and people, I'm not kidding, because we had this conversation, in fact, Joe called in yesterday, Bill and I were on, and he was putting out some good points to us, and we, you know, talking about the complacency and the sheeple, and that they just, they go outside, and they get in their cars, and they go to the supermarket, and they come home or whatever, and the sun is shining, so they don't see it, because they don't understand what's, you know what I mean? They haven't looked behind the gossamer curtain, if that makes any sense. They have, or they will refuse to do that, because there's so much insidious stuff going on. And of course, you are not going to get it from the lame brain, you know, media. You're not. we have to work our butts off on these shows. We have to go through everything that we can, whether it's the Drudge Report or, you know, RT, Canada Free Press, Real Econ TV. I don't care where you go. The Blaze, whatever. You got to find it. Find the truth. And people capture stuff on film now, like that idiot Melissa Perry Harris or whatever her name is. I just call her Ms. Mao. You know, they get they get captured on film now, and so they can't hide behind too many curtains. But there are those who still, at this point, will not look and see the truth. They will not. And I mentioned, you know, I had Joe laughing because he hadn't heard me say it. I said, I have people around me that if I were to ask them to even crack open a half of a book, they would look at me like I was from Mars. I would have better luck handing my books to two cows in a pasture. They could probably read them better. I mean, this makes me crazy.
I have harped, and I guess, you know, maybe I just didn't have my head in the right place because I've done a lot of this out of anger. And bitterness, spite. Man, I've been pissed that, you know, I'm serious. We have an obligation to one another, to our neighbors, people we don't even know, our children, grandchildren. We have an obligation to one another to stop this nonsense.
Sure.
And to challenge these people, okay? And we have to remember, we cannot lose sight of the fact that they are people. They're our neighbors. They're human beings.
Right.
They're someone's mother, brother, sister, father.
Yep.
They're in error. And it's our responsibility as a responsible, moral society to challenge them.
I agree.
When they start spouting nonsense out of their mouth.
You know, Ron.
Go ahead.
You know, I was watching the Colbert Report. Clinton was on there. And right after that, I saw Jon Stewart. And when I was listening to Jon Stewart, man, let me tell you something. He's waking up.
Well,
he's finally waking up, Ron. It blew me away. He was trashing Obama last night.
Oh, I think he's been awake, Robert.
Oh, okay.
I just don't think people have been listening to what the man's been saying, because I've watched Jon Stewart. He had Ron Paul on two or three times. And,
wow.
You know, it dawned on me driving home this morning at 3 a.m., listening to the Will Cal majority.
Okay.
You know, and Andrew Will Cal, he's on The Blaze, I believe, now.
Yes, he is.
Okay, and he has an argument. He said, we're right, they're wrong, and the argument can't be broken. And I thought, you know, what an arrogant statement. And I've listened to him off and on the satellite radio before, but
right,
he's right. He's 100% right. Not even close to being. It's not even open to question. And I heard a guy call a liberal, progressive, dipshit, call in his radio show and start berating him and telling him, yeah, well, why don't you have Janine Garofalo and Penn Jillette and blah, blah, blah. And he said, let me tell you something. He said, I've said it before and I'll put out the call again. He said, I'll take that challenge. He said, I challenge any pinhead progressive to a debate. The butch gal on MSNBC, Rachel Maddow, or Janine Garofalo. He said, I don't care. Bring them all. He said, they can have two producers and an entire staff, each person. I won't even bring any notes.
Wow.
You cannot defeat the argument. It's sound, and it's common sense, and it's factual. He said, where in the hell does this authority come from?
Right.
Where does it come from? Explain that to me, and you win. But you can't.
That's true. They can't, because they, you know, they don't understand that whole premise of the Declaration. I don't think they've ever read it. Ever.
What gives you the right? Where do you get the right and the authority to force me to do anything.
They don't have
unless I am threatening or bringing bodily harm on you or your family or someone who's not even related to you in your presence.
Well,
you don't have it. You never had it.
Well, unless, you know, and here's the thing. Because the rights come from the Creator, and that's indisputable. I don't care if you're in the middle of the Reign of Terror under Stalin. They still come from the Creator. Now, they can make people believe that they come from
right.
the government because they have a gun at your head.
Look,
but that is not good.
The denial of reality doesn't change reality.
Right.
Well, right now, as we speak, there's a government in Suwanee, Georgia. Did you hear about that?
Yes, in Suwanee, Georgia, in Gwinnett County, which is just a few counties over from us, evidently, from what I've heard in the story, they think that the guy's house is probably in foreclosure, and he's desperate. He's at his wit's end. He called 911.
Oh, geez.
Said there was a medical emergency. Around here, our firemen are also EMTs. They're first responders.
Mm-hmm.
Five firemen EMTs showed up, came into his house, and he's been holding them at gunpoint.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Oh, so he's hostaging them.
Yes.
Oh,
he did let one fireman go move the truck out of the way of the front of his house for whatever reason. I don't know what his logic is.
Oh, my God.
But look, this is what happens when we lose
right.
sight of what's important in this life.
That house
is sticks and nails, and
right.
it's stuff, and it's not worth destroying his entire life over. I assume he has a wife and a family because it's in a residential neighborhood.
Oh, wow.
And it's, you know, a 4 or 5 bedroom house. This is not some little, you know, peanut shell Cracker Jack thing. Not that that makes a difference. But we shouldn't lose sight of that, guys.
That's exactly.
The message that I wanted to bring today is, number one, we have to be aware all the time. We can't be complacent. We have to. We have a responsibility.
Yep. Keep our wits about us, and it's going to get
worse.
Keep
our eyes open and our brains engaged.
Yes, sir.
And
because it's
going to
get worse.
And that we have an obligation. We do have an obligation to our neighbors.
Exactly. I agree with you.
Not to be their keeper.
No.
Okay? But not to be a hindrance to them. Not to be an obstacle to their life goals.
And what I see coming, and I know you guys see it as well, especially in the financial situation. Oy.
We're in trouble. And
yeah.
I think what's going on right now, and at least for me, I don't know about everybody else, and you know, you guys, your week might be going fantastic. I stopped last night as I was driving home, and I thought, you know, praise God. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a wake-up call. And thank you for not taking my son or my grandson.
Oh, God.
Thank
Come
you
on.
That, you know, everybody's still here. And what you got, keep it coming, because I'm paying attention. I can hear.
Yeah, I know. I mean, you shouldn't wish for that too much because he'll bring it to you in spades. But
it's not a challenge. It's just like, you know what?
Yeah.
Whatever you put on me, I'm gonna praise God. I'm gonna thank Him.
Exactly. And when you were talking about, you know, an obligation to help thy neighbor, especially when I see what's, you know, when I started doing my prepper stuff, you know, I had that in mind, not only because I thought, well, you know, it's the right thing to do, but it was also a little self-serving because the more people I can get to be on the understanding of I'm here to help them, you know, we all work together, the better off we're all going to be, you know. And I think that with the financial meltdowns coming, I mean, I've posted stuff today on certain comments in newspapers and told people, you guys have no idea what you're wishing for. And you know,
and I think Linda, what you're saying is spot on, and I think we need to look at that a little deeper when you say, you know, because it's the right thing to do.
Right.
I think we ought to be asking ourselves, why is it the right thing to do? Why?
Well, I think
we need to be reinforcing that in our minds and in our families, our loved ones, you
right.
know. Those we have an obligation and a responsibility to educate.
Sure.
Okay? That it's the right thing to do, and here's why it's the right thing to do. Okay?
Well,
and because it not only serves you, it serves them as well. And
exactly.
How can that be a bad thing?
And what you're doing is you're serving God, because if you just listen to the words of Christ, he would tell you, this is how you're supposed to do this. And this, you know, he had a beautiful blueprint for us. You know, most people don't take the time to read it and put it into their hearts. But, and again, we're all going to mess up once in a while. But at least we attempt to get that message inside of our own little souls, and we try to put it out there and follow those teachings. I don't think you can go wrong if you follow Scripture as much as humanly possible. Again, we're going to fall and stumble, but he knows that. He's a forgiving, I think he's very slow to anger, but boy, I don't want to be on his wrath either. So, I mean, like I said, if something happens, anybody that looks like they need help, or if they're hungry, or if they're elderly and they don't have someone to protect them, you know, if they're not armed themselves, you know, I'll figure out something. But if somebody's coming to try to hurt somebody, man, they better think twice about it, because, you know, all hell's going to break loose one of these days. And hopefully there's enough barter items for me in Mike's stash to keep that from happening. Seriously. Hey, you want some booze? Here, take that and go away. Oh,
well,
man.
And you know, and Rod posted in here that, you know, he can't find any good in Obama, only the bad. It's not our job to find the good. It is our job to point out the bad.
Right.
And not everyone, as Ms. Terry can certainly attest, not everyone is open to education. Not everyone has the ability, rephrase that. Not everyone has the willingness to learn, because it's not easy.
Mm-hmm.
It's not supposed to be easy.
Right.
To always do the right thing.
No, it's not easy to accomplish things. It's not easy to put forth effort.
Integrity,
you know?
Integrity, and freedom should not be cheap.
Right. Oh, no. And they're not, because as we're learning, we're learning that the hard way. You know,
yep.
It's...
And what does that say about us and our current situation?
Yeah.
I think to me this is a learning...
Yeah. A learning time.
It's a teaching moment, I guess, for myself and everyone else, I hope. That's my hope.
Yeah, go ahead, Robert, and then I'll...
When I was thinking this past couple of days over all this turmoil, the sequestration, everything, you know, I said to myself, either he is really being a meanest OB to us, or he's really just trying to give us a civic lesson.
It's which correction.
Are you talking about God or Obama?
Obama. If he's given us a real good civic lesson, and he's a brilliant person, I have to say that. I have a lot of words
for that guy. Look, when I look at people, when I look at people like Barry and Hildebeest and Harry Reid and several others, and we can name them all day long because there's too darn many of them, you know, trying to look, these guys are progressives. They don't think like you and I do. They think like... you know, trying to figure out how they think is like trying to profile a serial killer, because they act like it. I don't mean just, you know, the mass murdering part, but they're diabolical. They have no feeling. They don't believe in God. That's for damn sure. You know, so it's pretty tough for us to get inside their heads. Now, I don't even want to get inside their heads, but maybe it would behoove us to try to profile them like the BAU does in the FBI. Oh, my God. I don't know if that makes sense, but
yes, it does. It makes plenty of sense.
Yeah, I mean, they act like terrorists. They act like, and that would be a reign of terror when somebody goes out and starts, you know, willy-nilly murdering people.
And you know, isn't that the point? They make it so easy to hate.
Yeah, yeah.
They really do. They make it really easy to hate them.
Well, yeah, because...
And we should actually, as Christians, we ought to be looking at them with sympathy.
Yeah.
And love, because they don't know God. They've rejected him.
Yeah.
How sad is that? I mean, the very purpose of the sacrifice of Christ is to reconcile us to God.
Right.
And these people are rejecting it.
Well, true.
And we're angry at them rather than sorrowful. These are the ones we ought to be mourning.
Yeah. Well, because I have a feeling I know where they're going to spend their eternity. But, and you're right. No, we're supposed to pray for them to turn their souls around while they're still here. While they have a chance, I get that part. And it's very difficult. You know, it's kind of hard when you feel like the Spartans and the arrows are coming at you. You know what I mean? It's pretty difficult. That's our test. I believe that's our spiritual test.
And I think that is when you find the true character of a man or a woman,
mm-hmm.
is that when those arrows are coming at you, you have enough of an understanding of your Father, of God,
yeah.
that you stop
mm-hmm.
and realize, thank you. Thank you for sending the test.
Right.
Because I know you care. I know you're there.
Right.
And I know you're testing me.
Sure. Oh, yeah. I know. That's exactly correct. And, you know, you were talking, when we talked about these people who are the eugenicists and the children belong to the community nonsense. Look, when, and you're talking about Wilkow, and when there's factual truth and absolute truth, and he was correct to say that they're wrong when they, and we should call them out when they're wrong.
Yep.
Christ did it. He turned those tables so fast, and he said it many
Absolutely.
Times.
Absolutely.
He called them hypocrites Absolutely. Every time he could, you know. but it didn't mean that he didn't love them as, you know, he
no,
was
No, he
supposed-
died for them, for God's sakes. He sacrificed himself for them
right.
as well as everyone. It wasn't just a one-sided deal.
Yeah, it wasn't just a small group of people, you know, and a little piece of real estate. He said that he didn't come to condemn the world, but to save it.
Right.
And from itself. It's
yes.
true. And but again, you know, when you see the people who have rejected him and they try to, and they be the busybodies and they're trying to force their beams on us, you know, in that sense, then we should call them out, because if it walks or waddles like a Marxist and quacks like a Marxist, it must be a Marxist. And I'm tired of it, and I'm going to call them out. Because
they're falling into the same trap that the Pharisees and the Sadducees, that the priests, those that were in a position of authority, fell into. They're
sure.
falling into it's all always, of course, it's always done out of good intentions, the best of intentions, well-meaning, completely misplaced.
I think that the Pharisees and those high priests were so greedy and had lost. I mean, they'd lost their souls because that's all they lived
for. But
it
didn't start that way.
Well, they got corrupted.
And they corrupted themselves. And, Linda, they were convinced in their own minds that they
right.
were doing God's will.
Right.
And nothing could have been further from the truth.
But I think there are certain people in our regime right now who do not have good intentions for us. I don't think Stalin was a good-hearted person. I don't think he cared how many people he shot in the head. I mean,
oh, no.
I don't think that we have some... Again, when you say unintended consequences and well-meaning, I kind of...
What the hell was that quote? Kill one person and it's murder, kill 10,000, or kill a million and it's...
it's
know,
a policy.
Policy or something like that.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's an ideology. I mean... It's horrible. Oh, hot seat saying all of them are Luciferians. Yeah,
well, and you know, and Mike, I agree with that, but that doesn't mean that all of them are cognizantly aware of that fact. And even if they are,
I think the
okay?
higher ups.
Okay, even if they are, we still, that judgment
mm-hmm.
is not ours to make. We should not treat them with hatred. Anger at the evil, sinful acts,
sure.
yes, but we ought to be just as damn angry at our own sin as we are at theirs.
True, because we're not perfect and we can't, and it's not our place. But, you know, again, we should pity them because I have a feeling I know what the Lord's going to do with them later if they don't change. We'll put it that way.
Oh,
there's my caveat, if they don't change. You know, and it, but you know what? It's their choice. And like I said, some of them are so demonic that, you know, you can't reach them. I don't even think Christ could reach them.
And, yeah, oh, no, I understand they are the enemy.
Yeah, I in other words,
I understand that.
I've never seen the Lord jump in somebody's body and change them around or change their hearts. He gives you that free will, and if they choose the bad, then, oh, well, it's on them.
And because they are the enemy,
mm-hmm.
it's again, we've got to focus on going back to Scripture, okay? It's not the individual human being that we need to be fighting. It's the ideology.
True.
It's a lie.
That's oh, I know.
That needs to be exposed. Yes, Mike, I know they want to kill us. What's
yeah.
the worst that can happen?
Then we go to heaven.
I know where I'm going.
Yep.
So when someone tells you they're a tax-spending liberal, you know they're going to kill us.
Well, it all depends on who's saying it. I think these people are in a clique. I think they're all in a bad group. And he's talking about the eugenics and Agenda 21. And I know, and the people, Mike, that are subscribing to this, the people who wrote those chapters and charters and all these earth charters and everything, yeah, those are, I would call, that's the top of the ladder when you look at the
sure.
Illuminati, whatever you want to call them, okay. Those people are more nefarious, I believe, than we don't even want to know. And I put people like Bill and Melinda Gates into that little category because they are got their little hands into all this stuff with GMO, Monsanto, and Common Core, which now I have dubbed Commie Core because that's what it is. And, you know, these people are in that echelon, and they do want to do the eugenics thing, and they want the depopulation. There's the Maurice Strongs, the Ted Turners, they're all of them. All of this came from the Temple of Understanding.
I've got a feeling that everyone listening to my voice has read the Bible.
Yes.
Okay? I also have a feeling that everyone listening to my voice has read some history outside of the Bible. Can you tell me what changed? How is today different than it was in the Old Testament as far as corruption, debauchery, morality? How has man changed in any discernible way? Are we less evil, more evil?
We are exactly the same except for technology, period, end of it.
You know, the one thing that's changed? The one change out of all of this, from beginning till right now, there's only one thing that matters, and that was Christ.
Oh, well, I forgot about him. I didn't mean to slight him, but I meant not in human nature, but technology. Yeah, of course, that was the big incredible
Mike,
thing.
Mike, you know, and Mike said, "F that turn the other cheek crap." Look. If someone's threatening your life or the life and well-being of your family, you got to do what you got to do. When it comes to what is being done in this country and what is being accepted mm-hmm. by a large portion of society, picking up guns and going out and shooting them all is not the answer.
Nope.
We need to educate people out of
I
compassion.
Do.
And love, and wanting them to recognize the error in what they're following, because many don't know.
Oh, I know. I do as the best I can. I wanted to pick up 214. Is that you, Hollywood?
Yes, I'm here.
Hey, John, welcome to the program. We were talking about a lot of things, but the new normal and people accepting things and becoming complacent. And go ahead and weigh in on whatever you wanted to say.
Well, hey, Ron, it's good to hear you again, Ron. And Linda, thank you for letting me on. It took me forever, but I finally made it in.
Okay.
I guess what you're talking about is the degrading down of our morality and anything along those lines that is tied to the Bible in any sense. And I agree with you. I find it ridiculous that we have a whole society of folks, and most of them who voted for the last president, who can't seem to get a moral center on anything. If you have a moral center on something, then you're considered too extreme, too much of an outlier, and somehow too rigid about anything. Well, if you go by that interpretation, according to what Ron is saying, you need to have love for these folks. You need to kind of bring them in into some capacity. I have a hard time finding compassion for these folks, though, and I really find it difficult. And I find that the next 20 years a tough road to hoe with what we're battling in this country. I mean, I don't know where the moral compass changes or how it changes.
Know.
The last time I thought it changed was probably around 1980. And that was significant with that presidential election, but, you know, maybe that's left up to interpretation. But I do find it quite an uphill battle.
Let me tell you, it should be difficult. Have you ever gotten anything in this life that was worthy of having that was just handed to you on a platter?
That's
true. Absolutely.
It ought to be difficult, and it's a fight worth fighting.
You bet.
And we can't do it out of hate. We can't do it out of anger, because when we do, if we descend into that, and it's real easy to do, then we're no different than they are.
I know. You can't do
because
it the same
way. Because
all
we're doing, once you do it out of anger and rage, then all you're doing is trying to use force to get them to capitulate to your ideology.
Which brings
the same damn thing they're trying to do to you.
Yeah, which brings us down to their level, and that's never going to win anything. And did you guys hear about the knifing in Texas? And
yes.
there was a whole bunch of people on different blogs and Facebook, and they were.
But he was using an assault knife, so.
Yeah, and they were saying, do you guys remember the old Seinfeld series? And they had the soup Nazi, and if he didn't like somebody, and he would say, no soup for you. So
nope.
I was thinking, now they're gonna say. No kitchen knives for you. No knives for you. That's what they're doing.
You don't have to look any further than the UK. They already do that.
Oh, my God.
I'm very serious.
I'm curious, though. What was both of yours' first thought when you saw that? Of course, CNN hand-wringing. Everybody on CNN seemed like they were subconsciously very happy that another event had happened. And I basically started texting my friends saying, there are entirely too many knives in this country. Something must be done about knives. We need to cut our bread with something else. But this was just ridiculous.
Yeah, I could just see. Go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, I'll tell you what came into my mind, because I was coming home from North Carolina at the time, and, you know, we got those big billboard things over the interstate that they electronic deals.
Right.
In the state of Georgia, this year so far, we've had 279 traffic fatalities.
Oh, my gosh.
Wow.
It's April. We're not even 4 months into it.
Oh, my gosh.
I guarantee you we haven't had that many gun deaths.
Can you imagine if they tried to take away knives, the revolt of all the chefs and the butchers in the world? Oh, my God.
Going to give them plastic cutlery.
Well, Linda, you always know how it goes. They never take away everything from everybody. There's always a select few that have, you know, the special privilege. So there'll always be somebody that will be massaged in because of Barry or something like that. But I find it funny that that's the first thing I thought of. Amazing how we're trained to think this way now. Now here we go. Now there's knives. I thought they were going to do it a little more graduated and go, well, you can't have magazine clips or multiple assault magazines. Now we can only have six-shooter. Well, some of them then do a killing with a six-shooter, and then they'll say, well, take your six-shooters away. You only need three shots anyway. Six is too many. Now they're skipping already and going to knives.
This after the TSA just announced you can go ahead and take your Swiss Army knife on the airplane.
Yes.
Oh, my God. I got about 30 seconds, you guys, and thank you so much for helping me out, because I had this horrible cold, and I didn't know if my voice was going to last. I want to thank everybody out there, Mike in the hot seat, Robert for calling in, John and Ron and everybody. God bless to everybody. This thing's going to shut off in a couple minutes. And we'll see you tomorrow for Terry's show. Thank you so much, John, for tuning in.
God bless, guys.
God bless, guys.
See you Saturday, folks.
Okay.
See you. Bye, Linda. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
See you, Robert.